Chapter 18, The Family Floyd.
"You've got to be kidding me,"
the tall man said as he and the short man stood with Evercloud by the stream and watched two large bears come lumbering toward them.
"Put the knife on him,"
the short man whispered. The tall man grabbed Evercloud and held the knife to his throat.
"You make the bears play nice and we'll play nice. Got it?"
Whiteclaw and Riverpaw stopped, just a few yards short of the men, and when they saw the knife at Evercloud's throat, they both growled in warning.
"It's okay," Evercloud said. "They just want to be sure they can trust us. Speak to them."
Whiteclaw shook his head very slightly at Evercloud, not wanting to give away that bears could speak or even understand speech.
"Really," Evercloud assured the bears, "it's okay. They helped me in the village. They're just protecting themselves."
"Take the knife away from my cousin's throat, or I'll crush your heads," Riverpaw said to the men.
"What are you doing?"
Whiteclaw whispered in shock. An awkward moment passed as the two men stared at each other with wide eyes. They couldn't believe they had heard the bears speak.
"You heard the bears talk, right?"
the tall man asked the short man.
"I think so,"
the short man said slowly.
"They're going to kill us,"
the tall man worried.
"Say something to them, would you?"
the short man pleaded.
Hello, the tall man said, still wide-eyed. "We mean you no harm, nor your friend here. Are we correct to assume you are friends of those who search for the ancients and reject the great tyrant?"
"I don't know,"
Whiteclaw said reluctantly.
"Can we assume you won't do anything that will force us to kill you?"
"Tell him yes,"
the short man whispered. The tall man did so.
"Then yes," Whiteclaw said.
"So what do we do now?"
the tall man asked, obviously unsettled by what was happening.
"Well, first," Whiteclaw said, "I suggest you remove the knife from Evercloud's neck and tell us who you are."
The tall man looked at the knife he was holding to Evercloud's neck as if he had forgotten it was there.
"Oh, sorry," he said and lowered the weapon. "We trust you'll understand the knife was just a precaution. We never really intended to... My name is Ben Floyd, and this," he pointed to the short man, "is my brother Thomas. Our family has worshipped the ancients for generations and has always believed they have not left us. It is our mission to find them."
"So that's why you helped me in the tavern," Evercloud guessed.
"Yes," Thomas said, "and we apologize for not believing your story, Evercloud, but..."
Thomas looked at the bears uncomfortably.
"Well, anyway, it's not safe to openly worship the ancients in our world."
"I am Whiteclaw," the bear said, "and this is my son, Riverpaw. We come from the kingdom on Grey Mountain, and with Evercloud, also accepted a mission to find the ancients, if indeed they still exist."
"Oh, they exist," Thomas said.
"We've heard only rumors," Whiteclaw said. "Do you have proof, or do you speak from belief?"
"Well," Ben said, "I think it would be best if you followed us to our home. There we can speak more freely."
"We appreciate the invitation, Ben Floyd," Whiteclaw said, "but my son and I cannot just walk into a village of humans."
"Oh, we don't live in the village," Thomas said.
"Please," Ben said, beckoning them, "if you would follow us into the forest." They all crossed the stream, and Ben and Thomas led the travelers into the dense forest on the other side. It was still day, but would only be so for a little while longer. The added shade of the forest made it difficult to see.
"We should be there before the light is completely gone," Ben assured them.
"Evercloud," Whiteclaw said as they walked through the forest, "were you able to purchase the salve I asked for?"
"I'm sorry," Evercloud said and slumped his shoulders. "That should have been the first thing I did."
"Don't worry," Thomas said. "We have all kinds of medicines back at home."
"Thank you," Whiteclaw said to Thomas before returning his attention to Evercloud. "So you still have all the currency I gave to you?"
"Well, not all of it," Evercloud admitted.
"I told you to only purchase the salve," Whiteclaw said.
Yes, Evercloud said, but you also told me to go to the tavern.
And what did you purchase at the tavern?
Whiteclaw asked incredulously.
A mug of ale, Evercloud said.
A mug of ale?
Whiteclaw was stunned. Uncle, the young man said, would you trust someone who entered a tavern all alone and didn't purchase a mug of ale?
Whiteclaw pursed his lips. I suppose you have a valid point.
After a few more minutes of walking, Ben announced they had arrived.
We're here, he said.
The party stood at the entrance to a cave, and a faint light came from inside. The entrance was not especially big, at least in contrast to the caves Evercloud and the bears were accustomed to.
We'd better go inside first, Thomas said, so father and sister won't be shocked.
The brothers Floyd disappeared into the cave and reappeared only minutes later.
Welcome to our home, Ben said, his arms outstretched.
The cave was large with a roomy common area and many adjacent rooms. The travelers found it surprising, considering the modest entrance. A fire burned in the middle of the common area, and a large boiling pot sat upon it. The smell coming from the pot set Evercloud's mouth watering, and his stomach reminded him he hadn't eaten yet today. There were colorful carpets across the floor, and scrolls and maps hung on the walls. The bears were impressed with the Floyds' lovely home.
I suppose I'll do the introductions, Thomas said. This is Evercloud, Whiteclaw, and Riverpaw.
The three travelers made their greetings politely. Then Thomas pointed to an elderly man.
And this is our father, Nicholas.
Very nice to meet you, said the old man.
He had lost most of his hair, as well as a fair amount of his sight. When he looked at the travelers, it seemed as if he were staring straight through them.
Bears that speak. Well, I never.
And this, Thomas continued, is our sister, Yolana.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Yolana said.
Evercloud couldn't take his eyes off of her. He was completely mesmerized. Yolana was slender, with long red hair that fell in curls around her shoulders. Her skin was so pale it almost seemed luminescent, and her blue eyes sparkled like a river in the moonlight. She smiled at Evercloud, and he felt as if he might fall down. He put his hand on Riverpaw's side to steady himself.
Are you all right?
Riverpaw asked.
I'm really well. How are you? Evercloud said warmly.
Riverpaw wrinkled his nose and looked at his cousin strangely.
Well, Nicholas said, dinner is almost ready, and then we can get to know one another a little better. The stew probably won't be enough for the two of you, the man gestured toward the bears, but I have a couple of boars to offer you.
That would be most appreciated, Whiteclaw said. Thank you.
Whiteclaw, Thomas said, if you would follow me, I can help you dress your wound.
Whiteclaw nodded and followed Thomas into an adjacent room. When they returned a few minutes later, everyone saw how the thick leather strap fit nicely around the bear's head to provide protection. Evercloud thought Whiteclaw looked like an intimidating warrior and felt moderately jealous. Now everyone was ready to eat, and as they did, Evercloud told the Floyds how Whiteclaw and Eveneye found him when he was very little. Then he told how Eveneye became king. The Floyds were very interested and wanted to know every detail about the kingdom and how it operated. Evercloud was happy to have an audience.
So every bear in the kingdom can speak? Nicholas asked.
All animals can speak, Evercloud said. They just don't speak to humans.
Well, I suppose I shouldn't be so surprised. Nicholas shook his head. Why would the ancients create creatures who cannot speak when they themselves have the ability to do so?
I agree with you, Whiteclaw said, and swallowed a chunk of boar. But for the sake of argument, how do we know the ancients could speak?
It's a good question, Nicholas nodded. However, there are references in the Book of the Holy that suggest they did.
The Book of the Holy? Evercloud asked.
Yes, the Book of the Holy, Nicholas said. It's the great tyrant's own account of how he came to power, mixed with his teachings and whatnot. Most men hold that book as if it were the air they breathe. Rubbish, I say. Lies and propaganda. The great tyrant used that book to convince humans he created the world, and the ancients were evil creatures, intent on destroying it.
But you just said this book is filled with lies and propaganda, Evercloud said. Why would you assume any of it is true?
Your logic is sound, my boy, Nicholas said, but all lies have some truth. I have my own reasons for belief.
Would anyone like a second helping? Yelena asked, rising to her feet with a smile. Her voice ran through Evercloud's mind like a song. He found himself repeating her name in his head. Yelena. Yelena.
No, thank you, Evercloud said, staring dumbly into Yelena's eyes.
Whiteclaw noticed the young man's infatuation and turned to Riverpaw.
That didn't take long, did it?
Riverpaw chuckled.
What did you say? Evercloud asked, shaking himself out of his trance.
Oh, nothing, Whiteclaw said, then addressed the Floyds. I think we've all had a generous portion, and we thank you for your hospitality. You do a service to your entire race.
Riverpaw nodded in agreement and thanked the Floyds as well. A stern look crossed Ben's face, and it seemed as though he was ready to talk of more important matters.
You've been very forthcoming with us, Ben said, so it's only fair that we share what we know as well. The short of it is we believe we know the general location of the ancient Tenturo.
The travelers looked at Ben in disbelief.
Allow me to explain, Ben said. Firstly, my brother and I found the giant footprint that began these rumors.
You're kidding, Evercloud said.
We found it in the glass desert, west of this forest, Ben affirmed. Thomas then went to Yorbrook to find our cousin Terence. He has sworn to the same mission we have, and he spread the word among our supporters. Obviously, the news traveled on from there. I continued west through the desert and into the White Mountains, where I came across something else I think you'd like to see for yourselves.
Ben walked to the wall and moved a hanging rug to reveal a hidden doorway. Everyone stood and followed him into the room.
By the Everflame,
Whiteclaw exclaimed. There, lying upon the floor, was the largest white feather they had ever seen. It was so big, Evercloud thought it looked like a hammock he could stretch out on.
We believe Tenturo is in the White Mountains, Ben said matter-of-factly.
Have you made any attempts to find him?
Riverpaw asked.
No, we didn't believe we had the necessary force, Thomas answered. But now... He looked at his brother.
What my brother is alluding to, Ben said, is that with your help, we might just have the necessary force.
What exactly do you mean when you say necessary force?
Whiteclaw asked.
Well, Ben said, in the Book of the Holy it says,
You seem to derive a lot of your information from a book you claim is rubbish, the elder bear interrupted.
Please, hear me out, Ben said. If this feather and the footprint in the desert are signs that Tenturo is out there, then we have to wonder why he remains hidden. There must be a reason. Let me read you a passage from this book, and you can decide for yourselves.
Ben went over to a shelf and picked up a copy of the Book of the Holy. He opened it and then read aloud.
And then the evil beast came at the Holy, cursing his name with its foul breath. It came down from the sky and slashed with its claws, and it snapped with its beak. But the Holy would not allow evil to win the day. He conjured two magnificent steeds to combat the monster and banish it from whence it came.
Now, granted, we can't take everything in this book as truth, Ben said, but something is keeping Tenturo away. We want to be prepared for all possibilities.
He stared at the travelers. So will you help us?
The bears looked at Evercloud, and he looked back at them. It didn't take but a glance to see concern in their eyes, and the young man knew exactly why.
Almost all men worship the great tyrant and feel the ancients are evil, Evercloud said to Ben. Why should we believe your family is different? Why should we believe you wouldn't use us to harm the ancients?
Ben looked at the travelers with sadness in his eyes.
You haven't lived in our world to know why we feel this way, Ben said. So let me describe our world for you. It is not filled with harmony and happiness. It is not a place of peaceful coexistence. Our world is filled with fear, hatred, and distrust. Men at war with not only the world around them, but also with one another. And we have been told this picture has been painted by a being that calls himself the Holy, a being that calls himself good and kind and all that is right.
That doesn't add up to us. So we call him the Great Tyrant, and we choose to turn from him. We choose to do all we can to bring about his end. We strive for a world that promotes trust and honor and peace. Not a world where children are left to fend for themselves in the wilderness. A world where a man can believe what he chooses without fear of death. A world where I don't have to hold a knife to a man's throat before I can trust he and his companions are good in nature. I see the ancients as my only chance of such an existence. So what say you, travelers? Do we stand together?
Yes, White Claw said. We head for the desert in the morning.